opposition in Uganda came up with a basket of demands for free and fair elections, because as a country, we've had all past elections have been contested in the courts of law, and the effect of them have been adverse to the country. Forget that in our history, all our elections that have been disputed have resulted into war and bloodshed. Even the very election that brought this government in power and Edmund Museven and his group to go to the bush was that the elections of 1980 were generally not free and fair. He felt so aggrieved, he decided to go to the bush, irrespective of that the Democratic Party, not his own UPM, had won election. That be as it may, Uganda, the opposition decided that this time around, ahead of 2016 general election, let them put down a basket of demands that will ensure that the coming elections meet the critical test of being free and fair. So they went ahead to launch these demands in Makerere and went ahead in the countryside to try to popularize these demands. So they've been having meetings. By their own record, apart from only one, all these meetings have been indoor, have been town hall meetings, where they've been meeting stakeholders from religious leaders to political party activists across the board to explain what must constitute a free and fair election. Demands that include, among the many, the disbanding of the Electoral Commission, coming up with a national consultative forum, but matters of the public order management law, which we all believe is unfair, is dictatorial. The opposition has tried to justify, to obey, for dismay, the government in the utter contravention of the bad law. They've been going around the country for the last 2 weekends, arresting, tear gassing, beating people, using the army, firing live bullets, and putting key leaders in a prison. To the extent that last night, the leader of FDC, General Montu, and Bishop Zach Nyerere, were bundled out of the radio station, and it was closed off because they were having a discussion on radio. That's the extent of the threat to freedom of speech, association, assembly, and participation in one's country. It's unfortunate as it may be, that is an abuse of our constitution, the basic tenets of our law, our international obligation.
But Honorable Mohammed, the government has a legitimate right to ensure that there is no destabilization, there is no confusion, there is no chaos. The government has to maintain law and order. And anything as a result that could potentially create such, the government has a responsibility to ensure it's nip in the bud. Don't you think so?
Yeah, first of all, in our constitution, the government of the Republic of Uganda has a duty to observe and respect and obey human rights. We have a whole Article 20 that says all organs of the state and all parties and all persons at all times shall uphold, promote, and protect the enjoyment of those of rights. And you have a very detailed Bill of Rights. And therefore, the call of government, first and foremost, is to respect the rights of the people, of free speech, of fair speech and association. And the people are not doing anything exceptional. They are having indoor town hall meeting. How disruptive can a town hall be? This is walk to work. It's not a rally. It's not calling for demonstration. Just a conversation with the people inside four corners of the building. So really, you can't justify this in any democracy. In any democracy, this is far, far below the mark.
Now, but Honorable Mohammed, there are instances where opposition groups have failed to inform the police about such a thing so they could provide protection so there is no destruction of property. Isn't this a legitimate thing for the government to do?
No. First of all, I sit on the SIA committee of these campaigns. A deliberate effort was made by the chairperson, who is the president of the Ghana People's Conference, Ambassador Dr. Ralo Otunu. First and foremost, he wrote a letter to the Minister of Internal Affairs, which was copied to the Inspector General of Police, informing him that the opposition intends to go around the country campaigning for these reforms. So the government is due reform. I referred to this matter with the Minister of Internal Affairs, who was due informed. And not only that, our local organizers on ground inform the respective police authorities in their respective areas of these activities in writing. And by the way, the public order management law we have, bad as it may, does not give a free range to police to act in any way they have. They can only turn down a gathering on two premises. One, if the venue is booked by another person on the same day and at the same time. So if there was a prior booking. Two, if the venue is deemed unsuitable and the police authorities, who are partisan in nature, and we've been calling for reforms in the security apparatus to delete it from the ruling party, from institutions of government and those of the ruling party, to know we are not being listened to. And these are some of the demands we are putting on table.
But the police have been saying that they are not in any way disrupting or preventing the opposition from holding rallies, but that proper procedure need to be followed before they can allow that to happen.
A deliberate effort was taken to write to the Minister of Internal Affairs, and a copy of which was given to the Inspector General of Police. The local organizers in all cities and towns where we are going to have these meetings take trouble to inform the local police authorities about these meetings. Nothing secretive about it. We are trying and doing the best we can to obey the public order management law. Bad as it may be, we are doing every effort to obey it. But it is the government's authority that are simply using the forces of coercion, abuse of office, and I think in utter contravention of the law and the constitution. And for me, it is simply an overthrow of the constitutional order.